Hello and welcome to Boring Beige Box, the weekly podcast about retro computing. I'm your host, Matt Wilson. If you like to hack away at your autoexec.bat or config.sys files just so you can play King's Quest or Ultima, you're at the right place. From 2400 baud modems to IBM PS1s, to Monkey Island 2, to the Sierra Network, we cover it all if it happened in the 80s and 90s. So clean out that garage, pull out that old boring beige box, and let's have some fun. Welcome to show number 14 for Friday, August 25th, 2006. Today's topic, garage sale and other stuff. Hi, guys. Glad you can make it this week. I am very relaxed, feeling very nice after a long week of work, and definitely it is the weekend. So kick back and relax and enjoy this week's episode of Boring Beige Box. Well, like I said, the topic is garage sale and other stuff. This weekend, we are having a big garage sale. Along with the whole neighborhood. Where I live in Northwest Indiana, people love yard sales, garage sales, whatever you want to call it. And it's time to clean out that garage and sell some stuff. I might sell some of those boring beige boxes that are in the garage. A lot of them, you know, I like to hold on to, but there's some stuff that it's just got to go. But, you know, there's not too many people out there that really, you know, collect this kind of stuff. Just want to quick go over our, of course, our website is www.boringbeigebox.com. You can also access our forums at forums.boringbeigebox.com. I will say a little something about the forums. The forums are great, and we've had some really good discussions on there, and different people have gotten on and talked about some of their collections and some of the things that they've been into. But, you know, the internet is still like the Wild West. And every now and then I get these, like, fake accounts that people register just so that they can post their website link, which is probably like they get paid for every time it clicks or something. And it's usually some sort of pornographic site or something else unsavory. So I try to keep that stuff managed and make sure I delete those accounts that get on there. But anyway, just be careful out there. So, but the forums are pretty good. You know, there's just a dozen people or so on there, but it's really nice to have people on there to chat about stuff and relive some old memories. I did get a few emails the past week or two. One email is from Steve, and I will read you the email. Looks like he's from the UK. He goes, "Hey, Matt. First, let me say I love the podcast." Thanks so much, Steve. "It both lets me reminisce..." Is that right? He's the spelling of reminisce. It says, "It both lets me reminisce about the old days and informs me about some things I missed. Let me explain. I came into the PC scene with the P90. It's a Pentium 90. That was our family's first PC. That was right at the end of the period you cover, but there was still plenty of opportunity to fiddle with autoexec.bat and config.sys, I can tell you. And I will say, though, the Pentium, I still include the Pentium 90 or any of the original Pentiums as part of that, you know, era around the mid-90s that started to change over. But I definitely include, I mean, the Pentium, the original Pentium was almost just like the 486. I mean, there was a lot of changes, but it was pretty close. He continues to say, "Prior to that, we owned an Amiga. Well, two to be exact. First the A500 and later the A1200 with a 60 megabyte hard drive." Wow. "By getting a hard drive, we were able to play some games that were ported across the PC, like Willie Beamish." I remember that one. Dynamix, I think, created that, that Sierra bought out, which you mentioned in an earlier podcast. Cool, that's very cool. "Earlier PC ports like Monkey Island 2 ran fine from floppies. So this is why some of what you mentioned is familiar to me, but the whole online thing was a mystery to me. I had no idea that Sierra Online existed or whether it would have been possible to access it with an Amiga. And I don't know if it was. I think it might have been PC only. He continues to say, one of my friends regularly connected to BBSs, but for the most part, Amiga ownership was an offline affair for me. So on to my question, and it's a bit provocative. It may start a flame war, but what the hell? Back one of the very first editions you mentioned, episodes, I think he's saying, some reasons why you chose the PC over a games console. And I agreed with every single one of them. They were exactly the reasons I chose computers over consoles as well. But you didn't say why you chose the PC rather than one of the other platforms that were around at the time. In the UK, at least, the PC was very expensive compared to the Atari ST or Amiga. It was about £1,500 to £2,000 compared to £400 to £500, and gave quite a bit less performance for games. So why the PC? And I will answer that. Keep up the good work, and feel free to ignore this question if it's just too damn annoying. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for the email, Steve. I will say, in answer to your question, at the time when I got into computers, even in school, in the school environment for me in the mid to late 80s, everything was Apple. And you know, the Apple did a huge campaign in getting their computers into the schools. So for me, it was all Apple IIe's, and then eventually the Mac Classics, or different variations of the Macintosh. So, you know, at that time, I would say around 1990, 91, I wasn't exposed to PCs in general, so you would think that I would go for Macintosh. But once again, there was not much software for Macs, or a lot of games for Macs, and Macs were so incredibly expensive. But then I understand what you're saying about, you know, why didn't I go for an Atari ST or Amiga? Well, at the time, I didn't see any Atari STs or Amigas. I mean, I know that they were still around, but they began started to fade out around this time of the early 90s. Some of you may not agree with me on that, but I'm going to look up real quick and see exactly, and I think that this is right. Now, the Atari ST released in 1985, and it continued into the early 90s. So it was there, it was around, but I think that, and there was lots of games for it, and it was probably, you know, I'm not sure exactly, but it might have been, if you're saying this right, Steve, that it was cheaper than a full-blown PC. But here's the other thing. For me, I was familiar with the PC somewhat, because there were a few PCs at school. They were rarely used, but around, I would say, 91 or so, we began to get all IBM. There was a IBM models that were called IBM EduQuest, and they were PCs running Windows 3.1, and they began to put one in every classroom at my school. So I began to get hands-on with a PC Windows environment. So at the time, the Atari ST and the Amigas were, I think, fading out somewhat, and I actually, the whole price difference, I know, you know, you're saying that they were more affordable, the Atari ST or the Amiga, but what I did was, I wanted the PC, but I had to get a cheaper PC. The PC I bought was only $800, and it was an older, I mean, it was brand new, but it was a 386 machine at the time when 486s were the top end. So I've always bought, like, the most economical, you know, I would buy, if I didn't have a lot of money, I would buy the cheaper PC, the lower end model, just to get going. And then if I wanted a really good machine, I would always build from the parts, from the ground up. So basically the answer is that I just didn't see any Atari STs or Amigas. And like I said, this was around 90, 91, and no one really had them where I was at. I mean, I didn't see them. It was either Macs or Apples, Apple IIs or Macintosh, or either these IBM EduQuest PCs that were running Windows 3.1. So I opted for the PC, and that's pretty much the story. So, but I know there's a lot of people out there that had Atari STs and Amigas. Now, I do know that the Atari ST was a lot more popular in Europe than in the States. But I think I knew one or two people that had an Amiga, but I never got into it. The interface to me always seemed kind of clunky and slow. Whereas the DOS, for me, the DOS environment was so incredibly fast. So anyway, thanks for that email, Steve. Also, Daniel wrote in. He goes, hello, haven't talked to you in a while. Well, for no reason, I got bored. He sent this great graphic for me, which I'm probably going to use. He says, well, for no reason, I got bored, so I opened Photoshop and started designing. Well, I had the time, so I created album art for your podcast. Let me know if you like it. There will be a JPEG picture text. And he goes on to say the sizes. And he goes, there's still a possibility for improvement. But I like it. I like it a lot, Daniel. He sent me, it's just a square graphic with a box, and it's got some computers and games in it, and it says boring beige box, and then my name at the bottom, and I really like it a lot. I'm going to probably use this, and if you go to iTunes and you look up the podcast, you'll see that the album art that I used was just an ad of a computer from back in the day, like that was sold at, you know, some stores. Crazy price for like a 486, but this graphic is a lot cooler, and I just haven't taken time to do anything like this, but I really like it, Daniel, so I will probably be using that graphic. All right, well, that's all for email, and you know, like I said, there were some forum postings, but it's been kind of light, but I would definitely encourage you to jump on the forums. You can also send me an email at podcast@boringbeigebox.com. All right, let's get on to the main topic, garage sale. That is what is happening. This weekend in my neighborhood, like I said, the entire community is doing yard sales everywhere. And, you know, I'm sure if you're a collector of vintage computing and or vintage computers and retro computers and stuff like this, you love garage sales, you love yard sales. Now, it's kind of a love-hate relationship because most garage and yard sales, all they are is old crap that people have in their, you know, in their garage or in their house, and it's and tons of baby clothes or baby stuff. I mean, that's, I go with my wife all the time, and it's like I'm on a hunt for, you know, lost treasure, looking for retro computing stuff or classic computing, vintage computing stuff, because it's very hard to find sometimes. But that is the only type of outlet to find, other than eBay, which, you know, can be expensive and shipping and everything, and most of the time you find the best deals, you know, at either like flea markets or garage sales. Now, this stuff for me goes back to, of course, when I was young, you know, going to the flea market with my dad, and sometimes to garage sales or yard sales. And I had a friend of mine named Andrew, and I remember him and his dad used to always go on Saturdays to different, they would just go all over for garage sales or yard sales. But the cool thing is that when I was in college, I think around 97, I started in 95 at University of South Carolina, but I started working in the computer industry around 97, and I had a bunch of friends that were into retro gaming. Well, there was one guy, a friend of mine named Jay, who was really into retro gaming and collecting old Nintendo stuff and just all kinds of stuff. And so some of them would go, and I had another friend who was into TI, Texas Instruments Systems, and they would always go to flea markets or, you know, and they introduced me to eBay. And so there was just, I mean, eBay in the beginning was awesome for buying and selling like vintage games, like Coleco games, Atari games. So I really got into, I got really big into Atari 2600 and ColecoVision collecting. And I would go to the flea markets, you know, every weekend or so looking for this stuff. Now, I have this feeling that when you're going looking for something, you usually find it. If you kind of have that mindset of, okay, I'm going to find some old school stuff, I really feel that you'll find it. Flea markets are hard nowadays because there's one that I go to over in Alsip, Illinois. I don't really rarely go to it, but most of it, it's not really people selling their stuff or their stuff from their house or whatever. A lot of it is just vendors selling really low quality just merchandise. You know, it's a lot of international, you know, people, and it's just not the same kind of feel as like the flea markets that you would find maybe in different types of communities. But you know, sometimes they have good stuff, but most of the time they don't. So I resort to yard sales, and then of course there's eBay. You can get anything on eBay. But with yard sales or garage sales, I think this past year I went to a few, and there was one, the last one I went to, you know, I'm just scanning as fast as I can every house to see if there's some sort of vintage computing stuff. And this, the last one I went to a couple months ago, I found a Commodore 128 system with a Commodore, the monitors, you know, the TV monitors that you could, they were actual Commodore monitors, which I think are kind of hard to find. So I got the computer and I got a printer and I got the monitor, everything for like $10. I mean, this system at one time, everything would probably been like $500 to $700. And it's great. And, you know, it's a great collector's piece. You know, it came in the original box and everything. And I hooked it up and turned it on, and it's Commodore. And, you know, a lot of the personal computer, type of stuff is really covered by, if you listen to RetroBits, another podcast that covers more of the 80s personal computers and stuff, the home computers, you know, the stuff that where everything was built into ROM and stuff, and those I'm really not into that, you know, that era, but it's cool to collect. I mean, I've taken I never had a Commodore 64 or a Commodore 128, but just to collect them and to hook them up and try to use them is kind of fun. But for me, you know, the machines that I always enjoy using the most are like the 386s and 486s, and doing stuff with those. So, the boring beige boxes. So, anyway, but I found the Commodore, system, and, you know, I found some other stuff in the past. I found a guy one time selling some old games and, that were on floppies, and, you know, so sometimes you can find some stuff. I don't know. It's kind of hard nowadays. I mean, if you really want stuff, you just have to go to eBay. So, but that's happening this weekend. So it's a big garage sale. Some of the stuff I'm probably going to sell. You know, I have a couple machines that I'm going to try to sell. But you know, it's really hard because these machines really mean something to you, or you enjoy using them, and to part with them or get rid of them is tough because maybe a couple months later, you'll be out in the garage, you know, say, man, I wish I still had that system, you know, and hook it up and play around with it. So, but the last time, about a year ago, same time a year ago, I tried to sell some of my vintage machines and nobody bought them. And I priced them at like $10, $5. I mean, nobody even messed with them. It's, I don't know, sometimes you can find some cool people, but I am hoping and believing that tomorrow I'm going to get some cool people out that are into some of the vintage stuff. So, but it's going to be huge. Some other stuff I just wanted to talk about, just a mix match of stuff. There's a couple different books that I had not mentioned in the past. If you remember the episode I did about, talked about Doom, and id Software, there's an excellent book, that you can get called Masters of Doom. I have it in hardback. I got it when it first came out, by David Kushner. That's Kushner. But the title is Masters of Doom. And the subtitle is How Two Guys Create an Empire and Transform Pop Culture. It's all about John Romero and John Carmack and the story of id Software. And it is a great book. I really, really enjoy this book. If you're into the early days of PC gaming, I think you'll really like this book. It's really cool how everything started with shareware, which doesn't really exist anymore today. Like it did back in the early 90s. You know, you think about Doom and how it became so popular was that you could download the demo. You could download, well, it's the shareware version, and you got to play like a level or two. It was, I mean, that was how you got exposed to the game. So id was probably the best company, I think, for shareware. They really kind of started the phenomenon. So the other thing is, there's another book that is interesting. If you're into virtual worlds, like World of Warcraft, or you know how we did a show on all the MMORPGs, anything with MMORPGs, even dating back to MUDs, there's a great book called Designing Virtual Worlds by Richard Bartle, and he was the guy who created the first virtual world, which was a MUD, multi-user dungeon, you know, the text-based role-playing games, online role-playing games. And I've only read through part of this book, but man, it's phenomenal. If you really want to understand concepts and ideas of virtual worlds, I would definitely, and I think I'm going to start reading this again, but it is published by New Writers, and it's called Designing Virtual Worlds by Richard Bartle. So if you're into MMORPGs and just online communities, I would definitely recommend that book. Some other just random stuff, if you're a Star Trek fan, which I am and have been for years. Most computer people are kind of into Star Trek. They had the big Las Vegas convention like a week or so ago. I didn't get to go. I really, really want to go. If anybody went, you know, let me know how things went, and you know, shoot me an email or post on the forums and kind of talk about it. That's kind of a cool, you know, side topic. There's some other stuff going on, like I think that there was the Gen Con convention in Indianapolis that was like a week or so ago too. That looked like it was really good. There's not too much going on as far as the vintage computing conventions. I know that there every year there's a big one in California at the Computer History Museum. That if you go to vintage.org, it talks about some of the different conventions they do. There is another Star Trek convention coming up on September 8th through the 10th in Chicago area, actually in Rosemont, Illinois, at the Wyndham O'Hare. And I know that William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy will be there. This is just kind of side stuff that I'm interested in. So, you know, if it doesn't pertain to you, you know, just fast forward past this part. But that looks like an okay convention, you know, just to hear William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy on the stage is like worth it. So, but I think like to get in the door, it's like $50 for the whole day. But I'm sure they'll have really good vendors there and stuff. So I'm probably going to go to that. Let's see what else. Nope, that's about it. Some other things that if you're into, you know, I'd definitely like to hear from you. You could post on the forums if you're into any other type of gaming stuff. I mean, when I think about, you know, classic computing and classic gaming or vintage gaming, I always think about the whole Dungeons and Dragons world and just any role-playing games. Like, I think this fall I'm going to start getting back into playing some of the old games like Ultima 7. DOSBox is just waiting for me to fire up Ultima 7 or Ultima Underworld. Definitely going to check those out. Or some of the old Dungeons and Dragons games. The SSI games are classic. I remember growing up reading all the Dragonlance novels. And if you were into those, I'd definitely like to hear from you and talk about them. I've read through the first three, the Chronicles books and the Legends series, and I want to kind of move on to some of the other books. I've got a lot of them, but I just haven't got time to read them yet. Those were great books. Every time the fall season rolls around, I really feel like or reminisce and start to get into that mode. I feel like, you know, back when you were in high school, going back to school and starting new things, new projects, you know, new classes you're taking, or if you started, you know, I did a lot of reading. I read all kinds of books growing up, and I just remember reading a lot of the fantasy books and science fiction books growing up. So if there's certain ones that you like or talk about, just post in the off-topic section in the forums. So anyway, that's about it. I'm continuing to look for more topics. If you have any ideas for topics, definitely send them my way. And that's about it. So thanks so much for listening, everyone. And I will talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.